Welcome back to the Sticky Picks podcast. Coach Steve here with both Nick and Scotty. Today, we're here to talk both Copa America and Euro 2024. Lots to talk about, boys. It's been an exciting couple weeks of football now. Going to be an exciting rest of the month of football. So how you guys doing tonight?
Good. I'm ready to break down some quarterfinal matchups and maybe talk a little bit of shit about the Euros to date.
Man, it's been like great day, bad day, great day, bad day, okay day. I feel like it's true. It's definitely true for us, but I feel like it's true for a lot of people that we interact with. A lot of good handicappers have struggled. There's been a lot of big upsets. There's teams that have been supposedly favorites that have looked like shit. So we'll obviously get into it. But these matchups, man, in both tournaments, probably about the best quarterfinal matchups we could hope for, I think, at this point.
You saying you'd rather see England versus Switzerland than England versus Italy?
Yes.
After watching Italy, I think that's probably fair.
Yes.
Like, we've been spared from that one.
Absolutely.
It's been interesting in terms of who's gotten through. I mean, we talked about last time the Euro bracket panned out very differently than maybe we expected, you know, during our group preview episode, and that has made for some interesting now quarterfinal matchups in that tournament. But let's start with Copa America, since that one just wrapped up its group stage yesterday with a pretty exciting match between Brazil and Colombia. But like, let's just talk about, I mean, first of all, positive surprises, disappointments. What do you got so far just in terms of teams, players, anything that jumped out at you so far?
If you had told me that the team that was going to be advancing from North America would be Canada instead of USA or Mexico, like, that had to have been insane odds. Just like, if you could have had all three, to for Mexico to not advance, for USA to not advance, and then for Canada to advance, like, that would have, if you had that, congrats, you know, shout out you.
Yeah, I think our boy Hedge had it right when he was on. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that he had the other two not advancing, but he definitely was high on Canada, so shout out to him.
Yeah, he was playing Homer a little bit, and sometimes you have to do that, right? It worked out, but yeah, and not only that, Scotty, Panama is the other team that got out of North America, right? CONCACAF, Panama and Canada, rather than the U.S. and Mexico. So maybe go ahead, Nick, and then let's jump into those two for a quick minute.
No, I was going to say, I think we had Mexico certainly not winning the group, but not surprised that they didn't make it out. So can't say that I'm upset about it. Definitely expected a little more. We hyped up Jimenez a little bit. I thought he'd at least get on the score sheet. That didn't happen. But definitely, I think, you know, Venezuela, to me, probably the surprise of the tournament so far, them making it out of that group. Ecuador, I think we all had pegged making it out. So half right.
Yeah, I think Venezuela, definitely the surprise of the tournament, just in terms of not even just getting out of the group, because I didn't think they were going to get out of the group, but to go unbeaten, 3-0, 6 goals, 4-1 against in a group with Ecuador, Mexico, and Jamaica, pretty impressive stuff. You know, a team that's been kind of on the rise a little bit in South America, but still always one of like the afterthoughts when it comes to South American football, known more really as a baseball country when you think about sport down there.
Definitely.
You know, with some pretty big major league players and, you know, showing some World Baseball Classics, things like that. And they've been very impressive. Ecuador hung on by really like the skin of their teeth to hold off Mexico in that draw in the last match. They haven't been very impressive either. I mean, the Valencia red card really conditioned the match against Venezuela and kind of started the trajectory of that group and where it went. But Mexico, man, I mean, as someone who is a U.S. supporter, you know, you and I, Nick, Italy supporters, disappointment there, U.S. supporters as well, but having seen Mexico a lot because of that and seeing them play the U.S. head-to-head a lot, and this Mexico to me feels like, in at least the time I've watched football and, you know, most of my adult life and a little bit of my, I guess, adolescence, like, this feels like the worst Mexico team I've seen maybe in my lifetime, right? I mean, in
definitely
terms of at least performance in the continent.
I would say they've probably been on the decline for the past 3 or 4 years, but this has to be rock bottom for them. I mean, when you performed worse than a terrible U.S. squad performance, I don't, you know, there's nowhere down from that. You could only make adjustments and try to figure it out. I don't know what needs to happen, but they better figure it out quick.
One goal scored in three matches for them.
Yeah. And I think, not to jump a little bit ahead here, but can we be done with the Jamaica talk from now on? Because,
man,
they
kind of disappointed
me up to every time now. Like, it's like, we get it. You have these, you know, players that you've kind of brought in from, you know, England and in other countries, and you let everybody down every single time. So I'm done with Jamaica. I'm not going to call them dark horse anymore. Like, they're just crap. Like, I don't care. There's nothing like changing.
They played. It is what it is. A little bit better than their results indicated, right?
They scored one goal.
Called back.
One goal.
You know what, man? I think we said it at our preview show. A lot of these teams are just not benefiting from playing at home. Turned out it wasn't an advantage for the U.S., but it certainly is more like playing on a neutral ground or playing in front of, I guess, traveling fans. It's definitely more of an advantage to certain teams than others, you know, like in Jamaica could be one of those that, like, a lot of the island nations, I feel like, show out at home a lot better than they do on the road.
Yeah, they're the quintessential CONCACAF, like, muck it up.
Yeah.
Come do with a pitch that's got, like, 18 different potholes in it, but they know where those potholes are, and, like, you know, they make it work. So, but yeah, I think from now on, any major, you know, tournament, whether it's Gold Cup or whatever, I'm not going to buy into any form of Jamaica hype. I don't care who they have. They can bring in, you know, Ronaldo 3.0, and it's I'm not going to buy it.
Fair.
All right. So sticking with CONCACAF here in this Gold Cup, the U.S., we have to talk about it, right? Finished with only 3 points, 3 goals scored, 3 against. Two of those goals were against Bolivia, who probably had the worst defensive record in the whole tournament with 10 conceded and 3. You know, word is that Greg Berhalter might finally be on the way out. As a U.S. fan, that might be the only positive that comes out of this tournament. But, you know, I have to say, I was watching the Uruguay game with one of our buddies, and you know, we're sitting there at probably about the 70th minute or so. I'm like, you know, you could blame this ref because who was terrible in that match. You could blame this ref all you want. The U.S., you got to score a goal, right? You have to create chances. They had one shot on target the whole match. Against the Uruguay side, that wasn't up to their same standard of the first two matches. I think maybe a little bit because the U.S. probably a little bit better than Bolivia and Panama when they want to be. But also, I think they knew they didn't need to win that match and, you know, weren't playing at their full throttle that we saw the first two. And U.S., the first 20 minutes, I had a pretty decent feeling about it. And then I don't know what to say, but you can't blame the ref when you can't get shots on target and you can't create chances.
Let's take it from the side of people who bet on games. Nobody blames referees more than people who bet on games. Myself, us included, right? It's a tendency.
Well, it's an easy out from getting a pick wrong, right?
You don't want to blame yourself.
Right, of course. I didn't make a bad bet.
Had the referee fucked me,
right? 100%. And is it true to an extent? Of course. But if you leave it up to the referee, if that's what you're going to hang your hat on, oh, the referee was terrible. Well, no, this is game three, and you played Bolivia and Panama. It's 2024. You're the fucking United States. You're hosting this tournament at home. I don't want to hear it. I don't care how fucking bad the ref was. You knew you needed 6 points before you got to this game. So you can blame the ref, and he was objectively terrible, but that's that. We're so far past that. And I think the only thing I'm hoping for is what we said on our preview. If disaster strikes and they don't make it out of the group, Greggy's got to go. And if that's the result of this, then it's actually a good tournament for us.
But like, how Thank bad you, does Oaks. That look though, that, you know, they're going to fire him again, potentially what, like a year less than that since they fired him the last time. Yeah. And
how many months searching for a coach, right?
Like right. And like, so what's
to bring him back?
Who are they going to bring in now? Like who's available suddenly that is legitimately a potential candidate for USA, right? Like, I don't want to hear any of these like coaches that have left. Like Jurgen Klopp was trending on Twitter, at least in my Twitter algorithm, because people were claiming like that's never going to happen. But who is the US going to go out and get now that they couldn't have gotten, you know, this time last year? So I think they're still kind of stuck in this purgatory. And, you know, I think there's also a piece of it where maybe it's time to come to the realization that this, you know, up and coming golden generation that we made fun of, you know, 2 years ago, isn't that good. Like they just aren't. You know, Weston McKennie, I don't know, you guys are the Serie A guys, but like every time I watch him, I can't believe that this guy is hyped up in any way, shape or form in a top four league. Cause he just doesn't look that good. He's got very little ball skills. He just kind of bundles his way into the box and like he gets headers, but I don't know. I don't buy a lot of this hype of this squad.
I would say the same about Giarena. I thought Giarena had a fucking terrible tournament. Yeah. And I'm like, I tweeted it out. All I think about is like, his parents fucking bitched and moaned and complained and blackmailed the coach. I don't like Greg, but went to the media, blackmailed the coach, you know, all for their kid to fucking drop three straight stinkers. So, I kind of agree with you, Sky. I think we tend to overhype some of the talent. I think objectively the talent's probably as good as it's been, but that's you look true. Back at some of these doesn't other teams for the US, great. You know, they were all trained in the same places. They're all maybe playing in MLS and playing a similar style. There's a lot more cohesion. And now we got guys who are all over the globe. It's different than a lot of these national teams that have players playing in the same league, growing up in the same academies, being taught yet, the same way. And I think that's a real issue. The media
sells us on that as being a benefit. Hey, the U.S. men's national team right now, all of them are playing in Europe. They're not coming from MLS. Like, that's given to us by, you know, the media and the pundits as like this, like, you know, way to quantify how good the U.S. team is. But it doesn't work. You know, like we can see with Jamaica too. Like, they can bring in all of these, like, you know, Premier League or whatever players. It just doesn't work. So I don't know. I think the talent has always been a little bit overhyped, because if you watch them in their club seasons, they're not, you know, a top three or four player on any of their teams, unless it's one of the lesser, you know, Dutch teams or whatever. And you know, I think they're just trying to sell it to like the common fan that like, oh no, this is now the time to like get into soccer. Like, we have this golden generation, and it's just, it never plays out. So I'm over that as well. I'm kind of done with, you know, the U.S. men's national team getting any sort of hype until they actually get an achievement, like until they make it to the semifinals of a major tournament. Otherwise, you know, leave me out.
Yeah, I think there's a give and take with everybody playing in Europe, like you said, right? It does show that the talent level is growing. I think that these big teams want these players, but like Nick said, it does take away from some of the cohesion in some ways, because players are less familiar with each other and whatnot. I also think, you know, like the U.S., they went down a man on that way, a red card in a match that I think if they're playing with 11 men, they win that match probably 9 times out of 10, or maybe even more often than that. And they did score first, and they conceded way too quick after scoring first. You know, if they had made some kind of adjustment after going up first, and maybe they hold out for a bit longer, they draw Panama and they find their way out of it, even down a man. I don't know, but there's definitely work to be done. I think there's maybe a little too much comfort with these players and Greg Berhalter too. I mean, I heard talk about it. I didn't realize it in match, but if you saw right before the U.S. conceded the goal to Uruguay, Greg Berhalter's telling Pulisic, oh, Bolivia just scored, it's 1-1 in the other match. Like, that to me is a loser mentality, because if you know that you need a result, who cares what Panama's doing in that moment? Like, you're probably going to have to play for wins. I don't think Panama's down 3-0. We're like, okay, right, they're down 3-0. We can play for a draw now. No, like, Panama, they just conceded, but they end up scoring two more later in the match. Like, I don't know. Like,
loser mentality.
It is in that
plain
sense.
And simple.
Like, don't even talk about it at that point, right? It's not like, I don't know. Yeah, Hedge wants to know if Canada runs CONCACAF. I mean, right now, there might be a good chance at the next Gold Cup. I don't know. I will say, I said it before, I'll say it again, I wanted Jesse Marsh to be the U.S. men's national team coach when Berhalter got fired the first time, and here he is now into the quarterfinals with Canada. So before we go ahead.
No. I guess we'll get into it when we talk about Canada, so I'll hold my thoughts.
I was just going to say, before we jump into the quarterfinal matchups, who to you has been the most impressive side so far? Not like biggest surprise, Venezuela definitely biggest surprise, but of the big sides that have played well, Uruguay, Brazil, Colombia, Argentina, like of those sides, who's been most impressive to you so far?
Maybe Argentina. Have they not given up a goal?
They haven't
conceded. But they've also looked, they've struggled to score and create. I mean, they blamed the pitch in the first match, and it was in Atlanta or whatever. But, I mean, I wouldn't say they're impressed as the reigning World Cup champions to come in and have 5 goals in 3 matches. It's not impressive. I would say Uruguay is probably the most impressive so far. Yeah. But
Colombia, you know, can make a case for, I think.
Yep, I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think Uruguay, I'm curious to see how they do in the knockout rounds, because, you know, given how USA played, they may have the easiest group. So
definitely.
Yeah, I think in terms of who they've played, I think Colombia's match yesterday against Brazil, I thought they played pretty well. I thought they deserved to win that match, honestly. The offside goal, that the player who scored that goal was not offside, it was the man in front of him. So I think they got shafted a little bit there. But they went toe-to-toe with Brazil. I thought they looked pretty good. Uruguay, impressive, but again in a group that not that great. You know, they scored a lot of their goals. 8 of their 9 goals were against Panama and Bolivia. So I think how they perform against Brazil is going to tell us a lot about that team. But I do favor them, and we'll get to it when we get there. I do favor them over Brazil right now based on what they've performed in. Yeah, Argentina, 3 clean sheets, impressive. They're still defending World Cup champs. They're on the easier side of the bracket, which when we get to futures, that'll help them. But, I mean, when you look at what the other teams in the group scored, Chile and Peru were shut out for 3 matches. Canada only scored 1 other goal in the group stage. So their 3 clean sheets maybe don't look as impressive when you see who that defense was up against, which I think is the caveat there with them.
Fair.
All right, so let's jump into what the quarterfinals looks like now. So on the left side of the bracket, we have Argentina, the favorite to win the whole tournament. They're hosting, or not hosting, but they're, you know, the higher-seeded team against Ecuador. And then it's Venezuela, the higher-seeded team out of Group B against Canada. So let's start there on the left side. I mean, Argentina is going to be expected to kind of run through into the final, I think, at this point. Maybe, you know, is that justified, do you think? Based on, you know, what's in front of them?
Yeah, I mean, they have by far the easiest 3 or so teams that they'd have to get through to get to the final. So I think you can, you know, lightly pencil them in into the final. I would be stunned if there's an upset, but you know, like I said, you know, they haven't been creating, you know, to the length that we'd expect with a team that has, you know, Messi and...
And he missed 2 games, right? He missed at least 1 game.
He missed the last game for sure.
Yeah.
But they had already clinched, right? It's not like...
Yeah.
So I think you can, like I said, lightly pencil them in. I think they're -230 against Ecuador to open it up. So obviously very heavy favorites in that one. And then, you know, Venezuela and Canada, whoever wins from that one, I don't think you're going to see a much different, you know, weighting in those odds. They're probably still going to be -200 or longer. Yeah. So, or shorter, I should say.
Yeah, I think Argentina, I mean, what I saw from Ecuador in the group stage doesn't impress me enough to think that they're going to give Argentina enough of a match to scare them. I think, you know, Ecuador is probably going to look to not concede as long as they can and maybe try to steal a result. I did see that the quarterfinal and semifinal rounds of this tournament go straight to penalty kicks versus playing the extra 30 minutes. Only the final plays the extra 30 minutes. That is something that is adds a little intrigue because if you're in Ecuador or something, you just can hold out, and Argentina's finishing is not up to standard like we saw in a couple of these matches, could be where it gets interesting, I think.
And I'm wondering how much that affects the odds, because I'm just looking at the matchup, and I'm trying to take Ecuador on the spread here, but plus a goal and a half, they're -190. But plus half a goal or double chance, they're +170. So, like, there's
no further than the total, Nick, because under 2.5 is -190. So they're expecting 2 goals or fewer in this one, kind of to Coach's point. So getting a goal and a half is like, you know, you're covering 2/3 of the outcomes.
Pretty much. That sucks. I feel like Ecuador keeps it close. Maybe Argentina wins it late.
I think they do keep it close. I see a 1-2-0 type of match. I don't know if Ecuador's got enough to score on Argentina the way they're playing right now, but I do think they're just going to dig their heels in and try not to concede as long as they can and put a little scare into Argentina. Maybe they try to hit on the counter, and if not, go, you know, if they're fortunate, go 0-0 to penalties and take their chances there. Because we all know penalties are a crapshoot. Doesn't matter who you have kicking for you. We've seen, you know, go back to 94 Baggio, right? Guy you'd never expect to miss a penalty kick. Players like that. So you never know. Messi missed it, I think, in the Copa final, right? At MetLife when they played Chile, I think, too, in that one. Yeah. Nope. So you never know. And I think that's what Ecuador will be looking to play for. When we look at the other matchup, this is 2 of the surprise outfits of the tournament so far. It's Venezuela, like we mentioned, and Canada. Venezuela's performed better in terms of goal scoring so far this tournament. The odds pretty close in this one when I look. I'm pulling back up here. We got Moneyline, Venezuela +160, Canada +205. What do you think about this one?
Excuse me. Here's what I'm going to ask. If we have any of our Canadian friends watching or listening, somebody explain to me Jonathan David, because all I hear is hype about Jonathan David. I see his stats in France and he's like, you know, goal a game or close to it. Like, I don't know if it's goal a game, but stats are always pretty good. Then I watch this guy play. I watch him in a World Cup. I watch him in this tournament. What does he do? I don't know. I've never seen him score a goal. I don't really see him in the thick of things.
He screwed my shot on target parlay. I had a 4 legger. He screwed it.
There you go. Couldn't even get a shot on target. Right.
Story as old as time.
I'm really trying to understand the hype behind him. You know, he's +320 to score a goal. Is that ever going to happen?
Well, there's your answer, Nick. Oaks got you. Blame the refs. Just like we started the show with, they always got to blame the refs. It's not
fair enough.
Player's fault. It's
Fair enough.
Those shady, shitty refs coming to ruin his game.
All right. Fair enough.
But yeah, I think if I'm looking at this, I mean, I'm very tempted to take Canada draw no bet in this one because, again, Venezuela looked really good, and I think that's, you know, I think that's probably where the most of the public money is going to go. But I don't know. I feel like this is one that, you know, Canada can actually keep pretty close in. And, you know, if Jonathan David does decide to wake up a little bit, then they have as good of a chance of winning this as Venezuela, generally by the odds, and getting that plus money with that draw protection in case it does go into extra time. I don't know. I think that's a pretty interesting play that I would be very tempted to take.
Yeah, Nick, you saw Venezuela live actually a few months ago in a friendly against Italy. Like, was there anybody there that like impressed you? Did you see this coming in any way, shape, or form, or was it like, oh, this is the same old Venezuela?
I don't know how complete that squad was compared to who's on this squad, but not really. I thought their goalie was pretty good. I guess their goalie has been pretty good, but I don't know. I really don't know what to make of this game, just because I think Venezuela overperformed, and I think Canada's still figuring it out, but they made it out of the group. So I don't know. This is a complete toss up to me. So I'm kind of with Scotty. Take the underdog and take a shot.
Yeah, I think either side, if you take one, I think I would go draw no bet since the number's pretty good on both sides. Just because I could see this also in a draw. But it'll be interesting because this is a big opportunity.
Should we take a red card? Hasn't Canada had like a man up two out of the three games?
They definitely did against Chile. And was it the Peru match or the Chile match, the second one?
I don't think we have card props out yet, though. At least I don't have them.
Total red cards, over half a red card is plus 310.
All right.
That's not bad.
They did go up a man in both of those matches, yes.
And Venezuela plus a quarter of a card is minus 120.
Yeah,
just saying, that looks good to me.
Yeah, I think for both these sides, what this comes down to is this is just a great opportunity for them to show something here, and really take that next step in their development as they look to qualify. Well, Canada's automatically in the World Cup, but if Venezuela is going to have a shot to qualify out of South America, I mean, what a great way to kind of find themselves moving in the right direction after they have been really irrelevant in South America for so long.
Sure.
All right, let's flip it to the other side. The other side of the bracket is got the most intriguing matchup. We'll save that one for last. Let's go to Colombia and Panama next. Colombia, I said coming into this was my dark horse. Repping the Colombia jersey tonight, courtesy of Juan from work. He gifted it to me, so I'm repping it for him. I think against Panama here, I think they run over Panama. I think James Rodriguez, I did not realize, still has as much as he has left in the tank, maybe because he's not playing in Europe anymore.
How old is he? Because he's been around for 20 years. He's either 31 or he's like 50.
Yeah. No, I think he's like in his 30s.
Yeah,
no, 32.
He's not as old. Yeah, I was surprised because he feels like he's been around forever. No. I guess in some ways he has because he came up so young, but he's looked really sharp. At the moment.
Yeah, and you know what? Shout out Colombia. They're the heaviest favorite in the quarterfinals. You know, don't know that I would have had that, but I guess that's partly because, you know, Brazil gets Uruguay, who've been great, so that kind of cancels those two out. And then, you know, Argentina, Ecuador, I guess that has the chance of being a bit closer than this one. So, I think you're right, Coach. I think Colombia rolls in this one. You know, the question is, what's the team total looking like? Because over 1.5 is not
good.
Minus
210
is not
good. You need to go to 3.
Two and a half, for plus 150.
I think your best look here is to take them like minus a goal and a quarter, minus goal and a half, if you think they're going to put up a few goals. Because I don't know if they concede to Panama, honestly.
Yeah, even like, you know, money line over 1.5 total goals is minus 180. It's tough. Yeah. I mean, like, if you're going to play this one, you got to either get really creative or you got to take a chance on Panama. And I don't envy you in either situation.
Yeah. Agree.
And we don't have goal score props out yet. I'd be curious to see what some of the goal score. I actually took a shot on your boy Diaz last night because he was plus 425. Had one really good opportunity that he hit right at the keeper, but
oh, no way.
I don't think the goal scorer props will be so good in this one because they're playing a much weaker defense. Yeah. But James, you know, goal or assist was juicy last night too. Neither one hit, but definitely some things to keep an eye on if they run into Uruguay or Brazil in the next round.
Yep.
So speaking of that match is obviously the main course of this quarterfinals for Copa America. Uruguay, who unbeaten 9 points so far against Brazil, who only managed 5 points, a couple draws and a win. The shock draws against Costa Rica, 0-0 in the first one, where they just couldn't find the back of the net. When you look at the money line here, Uruguay plus 185, Brazil plus 165. The draw no bet, Uruguay minus 105, Brazil minus 125. To advance, minus 110, Uruguay minus 120, Brazil. Like, this is a dead heat kind of match in terms of betting numbers. I lean Uruguay here. I think they've looked really impressive so far. I think they have the personnel to match up with this Brazil. I think it really comes down to your boy Darwin having the kind of game he had the first two, where he's putting the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah. I mean, he plays so much better for Uruguay than he does for Liverpool. And it's getting frustrating at this point, because I want to root for him, but then at the same time, I watch him play. And he, don't get me wrong, he still has his, like, you know, Darwin moments where he's missing, you know, pretty decent shots and he's cutting off sides. But the fact that he just consistently scores, I think he is like has the record now in for Uruguay as most consecutive matches scored in. I think they had like 7 or 8 at this point, which is crazy considering the level of, you know, players that Uruguay have come through over the past few decades.
Yep.
15 time champs of this. So it's, it's almost mind blowing for me. But who knows, maybe like, again, I'm falling the same trap and like, hey, this is the season he turns around for Liverpool. And, you know, the first 2 months of the season last year, he looked like he had it, and then it kind of faded away. But it's, if you're going to bet on Darwin Nunez to kind of carry you, then, you know, good luck. That's all I can
listen,
say.
Listen, bro, but he fucking is a menace, though. He does not stop running. His instincts are good. Like, give me 11 of him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he's not the most polished guy, but what a fucking asset he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. He even had that one run against the U.S. where he like cut it back on, you know, very much not like your traditional striker. Like, he can really move. And Baroque, his point, made a great point in the chat. I almost forgot. Vinny, on yellow card suspension is a big one.
So Oaks, I'm going to triple down on what you're saying, because Brazil even is only even here because of like his heroics, right? They are so reliant on Vinny. It's really out of control. And for a nation that's so storied, the fact that they just can't figure out a striker, Vinny bags goals because he's that fucking talented, but he's not a true striker. Neither is Rafinha. Neither is Rodrigo. Neither is anybody, right?
They don't really have a striker anymore, yeah.
And they haven't had one for the past 2 or 3 tournaments, and it's wild. So Brazil just keeps getting these numbers that don't make sense, and I've fallen into the trap enough. I'm done with it. Their midfield is not that good. It's pretty average. I mean, I think Paquetá's a solid player. He does a lot of things. But outside of that, I mean, I don't know. Nobody really impresses me. You know, we got guys from like Newcastle. That's your star midfielder, right?
Guimarães.
Yeah,
he's pretty like, fucking good. But
he's good.
Well,
but, you know, I mean, like, yeah. Okay, what? Like, was Joe Linton not available? Like, what? Ederson from like, yeah. You know, these are the guys you're trotting out there. It's they just don't score. They don't fucking score, and they're lucky. Yeah. Alisson's amazing. You know, top goalkeeper, but now that they're running into, you know, another good team, they're going to have to run into good teams from here on out, whether they win this game or not. I'm kind of over the Brazil hype right now. They, you know, they just don't fucking score.
Yeah. I mean, do you like Uruguay enough to take the money line at plus 185, or you think that's a little too risky there?
I'd probably go to advance or draw no bet if I was taking Uruguay.
Yeah, here's the interesting thing about these lines, you know, to advance, draw no bet, and then both teams to score, those are all pretty much even split between minus 110, minus 120. Yep. You know, I get your point, Nick, where, you know, Brazil has just been, you know, especially without Vinny, they lack creativity in that goal scoring, you know, final piece. Both teams to score in this one at yes feels kind of right. Like, this, if there's good, I mean, maybe this is just me being hopeful because this is like the premier match of the quarterfinals, but yeah. Man, if there was going to be like a classic like South American showdown where you've got, you know, 4 goals to 2 goals or something like that, I feel like it would be something like this where, you know, both teams just play all out. You know, they're not here to just try to win 1-0 and you get, you know, a decent show out of it. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me projecting that hope onto this match, but I really like the idea of both teams to score at -120 rather than trying to take, you know, Uruguay at, you know, to advance at -110 or Brazil.
And I think, you know, I was going to ask out loud, is Brazil really going to get shut out in an elimination game?
But yeah.
They've already been shut out this tournament, which is wild. And their best player suspended, which is wild. But I'll agree with you. You're never going to see a -110 again, or -115, whatever it is, on Brazil for both teams to score. So
yeah, and each
last night against Colombia was -105. I gave it out on our daily pick. I was like, there's no way I'm not taking this in this matchup with these two teams.
And each team over half a goal is, you know, -270, -290. Like both teams should get goals in this one. They just should. Like there really is no good reason besides Vinny being hurt and Brazil collapsing entirely. That we both teams to score misses, in my opinion.
All right. So before we move on to the Euros, do you want to make a call on your tournament favorite at this point? Or are we still leaning?
Do we have futures?
We have futures.
Yeah, we have futures.
Hit us.
Argentina's still the favorite. Go ahead, read them out, Scotty.
Argentina +110. Brazil +300, Uruguay +500, Colombia +600, and then the long shots, Venezuela +2,500, Ecuador +2,800, Canada +4,000, and Panama bring up the rear at +10,000.
Yeah, you got to go.
Some good ones there.
Uruguay or Colombia to get you.
At +500 is not bad. And if you want to kind of hedge against with Brazil a little bit too, you know, you could probably do something like that.
Yeah, I think the value is on Uruguay or Colombia. I think both are capable of winning the tournament from what I've seen from them.
Problem is that, you know, they're facing each other one way or the other.
Each other in the semifinals, yeah.
Yeah.
So that it's very similar to how the bracket set up with the Euros for a team like England, right? Like, they much weaker side of the bracket. They remain the betting favorite. But, yeah, the value is on one of those sides. I would not be shocked if someone other than Argentina wins this tournament, though, even with the path that they have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Argentina to reach the final is -220.
That's
there's nothing you can do.
If you want that, take the money line against Ecuador.
Yeah, exactly. Brazil is +140, which I think is a little interesting. I can't believe they're that short of odds.
It's interesting to see how short the odds are in Brazil, considering they've only won one of their three matches and they have to get through Uruguay and then probably Colombia again to just get to the final.
Yeah, that's just got to be like the public, you know, bandwagoning on Brazil like they so often do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah,
and kind of like we talked about in some of the earlier episodes previewing these tournaments, if you take Argentina to win and get value out of it, you almost have to take a straight forecast and pick who you like out of those other three to play them. Because all those are +400 or better.
Yeah.
If you take Argentina, Brazil, whatever.
I mean, it's theirs to lose right now. It is what it is.
Before we leave Copa, can you guys refresh my memory? Lautaro is not starting for Argentina, right?
He started the last game because Messi was out, scored twice.
Yep.
He's currently the odds-on favorite for top goal scorer at -175.
I believe we gave that out.
Yeah. Darwin +300, Vinny +600, Messi +1600. I mean, I get it. Like he's got
four goals in three matches, right?
Yeah. Is he going to start from here on out, though? Like, you know, you take another team on the other side of the bracket that's going to go to the final, like, you know, Uruguay or Brazil, and pick one of their players. I guess Vinny's out. So I guess Darwin is your last hope there, maybe a +300.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard not to start him, right? I mean, he is projected to start. From what I'm seeing here, I don't know how accurate this is on SofaScore. They're not projecting a 4-3-3 with Messi and Alvarez flanking Lautaro, which would be a different look.
I'm not going to put anything past Scaloni because I think he's... you can't really argue with his results to this point. I think he shows that he's not scared to switch shit up, but if you start him and he doesn't have a good game, which I think he is capable of having a bad game, like, who's your impact sub off the bench?
Yeah.
Like I always like to have one guy for teams that have the talent. Right. That's what I mean. Like, is that who you're bringing off the bench?
It's who he will be, but I'm not saying I agree with it.
I almost like to keep him in reserve or if you're going to start him, you keep Alvarez on the bench for a little bit. You need to have somebody that you can go to.
Yeah. Oaks just said buy Messi at +1600 because he's going to PK his way to the top. I mean, I don't hate it, but Messi hasn't scored yet, right?
Exactly.
He's got a 5-goal deficit. He's going to basically have to make up in this. I mean, that's a lot for three matches. I mean, if anybody can do it, it's him. But, you know,
Yeah. Drops one masterclass of yeah. fucking hat trick.
Like and a hat trick against.
They need to have Ray Hudson announce one of the games, and then he'll have his hat trick.
All right. Let's go over to the Euros. So Euros, a little longer tournament. They just finished the round of 16. I'll read through those results real quick. We had Spain beat Georgia 4-1. Germany beat Denmark 2-0. Those two will face each other. Then you had Portugal win on penalty kicks against Slovenia after a scoreless match. France beat Belgium 1-0 in a late own goal. They'll face each other. Those four on the one side of the bracket. Then we have the Netherlands end up beating Romania 3-0. Turkey, surprising Austria, 2-1. They'll face each other. And then it's England, last gasp, tying goal by Jude Bellingham. Really nice goal. Sent extra time. And then just moments later, Harry Kane scored at the beginning of extra time to get England through over Slovakia. And the Swiss dismantling Italy 2-0. So it's England and Switzerland. So let's start with the matchups that are on July 5th, which is Friday. We have Spain and Germany, Portugal, France. This side of the bracket is loaded. This is where the real intrigue is, I think, in the bracket in terms of head-to-head matchups. I mean, these are two juicy matchups, guys.
Yeah. Absolute toss-up in this Spain and Germany game. I think it's been the two most impressive teams so far, mm-hmm. and they're facing off. I think both have a little bit of that same kind of identity crisis where they have a ton of attacking talent, but no real take-over-the-game goal scorer. Has Morata even scored? I know they've scored a ton of goals, so I don't know if he has one in there or not.
He did in the first two. I don't know if he got one late in that second match. No, he did not.
Okay, so he hasn't scored. Havertz hasn't done anything. You got Fulkrug, who we tipped to have a good tournament. He's been great off the bench for Germany, but it's just too weird style of play so far that have been pleasing, but like they're both still lacking something, and I think other teams being so bad makes both of them look a little bit better. I kind of want to give the edge to Germany here. They are at home. I still think that's a massive advantage, and Oaks just made a great point. I don't think Spain have played anybody, right? They ran through the group, right? They didn't give up a goal to anybody. Did they give up a goal?
No, they conceded to Georgia in the last.
Yeah. Oh, in the last game. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I think Germany's a little more tested. I think Germany got hit in the face, whereas Spain hasn't. So they've certainly responded. So I kind of got to give the edge to them. I'd be going draw no bet with Germany in this one if I had to make a bet.
Yeah, it's tough to the home team Germany -110 draw no bet is a very tough one to pass up. I do, mm-hmm. I still think it's Spain. I mean, we talked about it last episode. I think the winner of this game probably is the eventual winner of the Euros. So I think that's what the most intrigue is for me. Spain has just felt like the more complete performances, regardless of who they've played, right? Like you can only play who they put on your schedule. They don't Absolutely. Have control over that.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
They've never seemed like a team that was even like close to, losing control of a game. I know they had a couple 1-0 wins, but even against Italy, like, did you guys dominated really feel like game. Italy was in that?
Dominated.
No, so, dominated.
It was Gigi Donnarumma masterclass.
They were playing a different sport, dude.
Yeah.
So I just, this is, their first real challenge, and I can maybe buy into that being like the trap, but I think they're the eventual winners in this. I just, from a betting perspective, it's hard to pass up the home.
Here's a question I have for Coach, because Coach always has this at the ready. What's the history between these two teams? I feel like they haven't faced off all that much.
Well, let's pull it up right now. So in their last four head-to-heads, Spain has no losses. So
okay,
they played.
Interesting.
Yeah, we had a 1-1 draw their last time out. Says World Championship. I don't know what World Championship that is. Nations League, Spain trounced them in 2020, 6-0, and then 1-1 draw in Germany. A lot of 1-1 type matches going on. 2018 was one before that in a friendly. A lot of tight matches outside of that one drubbing by Spain in the Nations League in 2020, where they just absolutely dismantled Germany. It's been a lot of 1-1 type stuff.
So this is a game to me. We could look at some of them, or certainly I know we'll have our plays of the game and we'll be tweeting them out, but this is like a prop game to me. You gotta latch on to some props. Like, give me a Sané shot on target for -110. That's that. I like that. sprinkle something on like Cruz shot on target for plus 230 or whatever it's going off at. You know, pick some guys for volume.
115.
Yeah,
I was looking at the score assist. You know, Nico Williams is plus 175. Whereas, is that somebody else? Oh yeah, Muziala is also at plus 175. So I think, you know, either of those guys I would take for scoring or assisting a goal in this one. I mean, yeah. Muziala, I think he's joint second for, you know, Golden Boot.
Mm-hmm.
But either tied with Gakpo or is he behind Gakpo? He's up there. So I like either of those guys in this one to get a goal or assist one.
Yeah, I think this could be a prop game. Like you could build a little even single game parlay with some of those boosts they give here around like just shots on target at some with the numbers they give on some of these guys.
Do you guys like both teams to score in this one? -125 is yes, +110 is no.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I can see this being
it's interesting because both team totals game. Are playable if that's the case. You know,
yeah.
1.5 for either side is plus
150.
Yeah. So
yeah. I don't know if anybody gets to. I don't. Because the way Spain has played in these tournaments, you know, historically.
Do you see it as a 1-0 game?
I don't know if it's a 1-0. Maybe it's a 1-1.
Even if it's a 1-1, you get extra time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's.
Oh, we're not going straight to penalties in this one?
No, this one we are not.
Yeah.
Team totals carry over to extra time.
Yep.
They do. So then it becomes more attractive in some ways for sure. Yeah, I have a hard time separating, but I agree with Scotty that I feel like whoever wins this has to be the favorite going into the semis to win this whole tournament. They've been the two most impressive sides so far.
I'm sorry, Scotty, didn't mean to cut you off. I'm probably most interested to see where the line settles, and that's probably where my bet's going to go. Because right now, you know, give me a Germany draw, no bet, -110. I wouldn't be mad at anybody for taking either team on the money line, but if you're giving me either team, like plus a quarter of a goal by the time this kicks off, I'm taking whoever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I was going to say, like, you know, as to Coach's point about this winner, this team being the favorite, I mean, you would look at their side of the bracket, and we kind of did this last episode, but, you know, given how Portugal and France have been playing, you know, it's not that intimidating anymore. Like, it seems like a pretty,
right,
I don't want to say clear shot, but it certainly opened up quite a bit. You're not playing any of these teams on the other side that are maybe lesser in stature, but are way more informed than, you know, Paris or not Paris, France and Portugal.
Yeah. So speaking of Portugal and France, that's the other matchup on this side of the bracket. France been very underwhelming so far. Portugal didn't do much against Slovenia, you know? So
I think it's fair to say both of these teams ruined my Monday by playing 210 minutes of soccer and barely getting a goal out of those minutes. Yeah. It was just absolutely brutal.
And it was an own goal.
And it was an own goal. Yeah. An own goal in the 85th minute. That's what I got for 210 minutes.
I needed one goal from Portugal to cash my future team total goals. And they've been blanked the last two games.
Yeah.
You know, you can think
against fucking Georgia and whoever they just played, Slovakia or Slovenia or somebody.
Yeah, I mean, if you had told me before the tournament that they would get blanked by those two teams back to back, I'd say there's no way I'd take that bet, right?
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, right now, the way this France is playing, give me Portugal plus a quarter of a goal, -125. I think not that Portugal's played well, because they certainly haven't for three games, but this France has to be the disappointment of the tournament so far. Has to be. And I say that as a team that made it to the quarterfinals.
And, you know, it's aside from their run to the World Cup final, you know, in the previous tournament, like, France has always had a history of underwhelming, at least in the past, you know, 14 years or so.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, on par with, you know, what we've seen, you know, just in recent in memory. So it's like, I don't quite understand it. Like, you thought that they had arrived with that World Cup final appearance and, like, obviously behind Mbappe, and they have a great mix of young, you know, talented players, but also some of the guys like Giroud that could kind of step in and you know, provide that veteran leadership. But it just seems to have fallen apart. And, you know, I don't want to hear the excuse around Mbappe's injury being like the thing, because there's so much talent behind him. Like, there should be somebody ready to in the wings to step up and you know, contribute.
I'm not going to go on my soapbox, but like, this 4-3-3 is not working for them. And like you said, Scott, like they got guys, you know, Thuram is awesome, had a great year at Inter. He's not really a striker. You're not, why are we putting him in the middle of a 4-3-3? Doesn't make much sense to me. Dembele should never see the field again with how bad he was those first two games. So yeah, that's not the answer. You mentioned Giroud, right? Yeah. Is he old? Sure. But this dude has the pedigree. He's got the experience. He's well rested at this point in time. Give him a little bit of run. Griezmann hasn't seen the field all that much. The guys from Real Madrid, which, like, I get it. They played a long fucking season and they won a Champions League and whatever, but you're not giving Tuch any of this time in the fucking midfield. Like, what are we doing here? I don't really understand it when really nothing else has worked.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this one, because of how poorly these teams have been attacking the last two matches. Looking at first half total goals under half a goal plus 140. Do you think we see a 0-0 type match in the first half of this one?
Possible.
It's very possible. It's not going to be a fun bet because, you know, the way that France has been playing, they've gotten, you know, gotten into the box and they just don't do much with it. And the other thing that you're going to have to be up against is you're going to be up against, you know, the Ronaldo pen, right? I mean, he missed the one in the extra time, but then he buried the one in when it actually mattered in the penalties. So, you know, I could see some shenanigans there. I hope they start my boy Jota, because we talked about it with Leg, and I said that, you know, Jota should be starting because he's the guy that finishes. And once he came on in the game on Monday, was easily the best player on the field. Like, and I guess, you know, my bias has been declared, but, you know, he wins the penalty. He's creating the chances. Like, he was, I don't know how they don't start him after that. It's crazy if they leave him on the bench.
And I feel like some of the guys in their midfield just aren't taking enough initiative. And I don't know if that's the feelings tour that we're on here with Ronaldo or what, but, like, man, they got an awful lot of talent to be shut out two games in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. More, especially considering who they were playing.
Yep.
That's what gets me. Like, with the talent level they have, like, we talked about them as, like,
see, now, like, you're almost going to talk me into France by saying that, because now they played like shit for two fucking games and France hasn't played good. Is France due? Do we take France at plus 140 because France is never at plus 140?
We even said before this, the round of 16 matchup for France, like, if France starts to find their footing, maybe they end up winning this tournament, right? Maybe they become the team that just kind of gets through this tough side of the bracket, you know, heading into the semifinals against either Spain or Germany, but they haven't looked like it so far.
At least
Mbappe plus 160.
The score?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's because the one plus side I can say about Portugal is they at least looked decent up until they're in the group stage, up until their loss to Georgia, but at that point they didn't really care, right? Like, they didn't have a whole lot of skin in the game. But France didn't even look good in the group stage, right? They got through with their opening match win, and then they drew both games, and then they, you know, looked. They basically drew Belgium. They got the own goal in the 85th minute.
Yeah,
I think Portugal would be the play here. I wouldn't want to put money on France winning this in regular time.
Right. Yeah. As of today, and we reserve the right to change that because we haven't given out our daily play yet. But Portugal plus a quarter of a goal. That's where I'm at. Matt. Yeah.
I might even take Portugal draw no bet plus 125. You get your money back. If it goes to extra time, you don't got to worry about Ronaldo choking a penalty away.
All right. So let's move on to the other side of the bracket. And there was a manager who was moments away from probably suffering the Greg Berhalter fate. And that was Southgate, because England was just moments away from being out of this tournament on the easier side of the bracket. You know, I'm sure when England supporters saw that draw, they were licking their lips a bit and thinking, wow, this is a great path for them to get at least back to the semis and hopefully the final. Didn't look great against Slovakia. They, like we said, had to pull it out in extra time. Switzerland, on the other hand, really dismantled Italy, but England's still very big favorites on the money line, plus 120 to plus 290. Draw no bet for Switzerland, plus 160. The two advanced lines, England minus 170, Switzerland plus 135. I don't hate Switzerland draw no bet here at plus 160. I really don't. And to advance at plus 135, I might like that even more.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you, Coach. I mean, you can't be putting money on England at this point. You can't. Like, if you put money on them last round and you got, you know, your winnings, although they may not be just, don't make the same mistake and put them on them again against Switzerland. It's time to move on. You've seen what they're capable of, or what they're not capable of. Nothing's really changing. Southgate is too stubborn. Again, talked about it last week. He's not going to be a guy that's going to be changing up his tactics, changing up his lineup. The thing that drives me nuts is like the problem is this top line. And the only rotation he's done is who's paired up in midfield with Declan Rice. He's tried three or four different guys there. That's not the problem. They control the game, right? They can pass sideways. They can do whatever they want. They just don't have anybody on the sides or the wings to help feed Harry Kane or play off of Harry Kane. Foden and Saka aren't it. They're just not. And you have tons of talent that you can bring in. You know, you bring in Ivan Toney, you bring in Ollie Watkins, you can bring in Jared Bowen. You got so much talent to play with. To not even try to tinker is crazy, because clearly what you're doing is not working. If you think it's working, like, that's probably worse. No. So there's no reason for you to believe that Southgate's going to come in with a new lineup that has, you know, different faces in attacking three, that's going to have, you know, different players on the fullback position. And they're just not going to create much. So,
yeah. And both my sides, the under's been the play. England 5 out of 5, under 2.5. Switzerland 8 out of 10. The Swiss are unbeaten in 8 straight matches in all competitions. Well,
what's the under, coach? It must be like -180.
It's got to be. Let's see. The under is the DraftKings is set at 1.5.
Yeah.
If you go to 200, at -200 for 2.5.
So here we are, 50 minutes into the show here, and I feel like I'm going to repeat myself for the fourth time with the fourth different team. Like, Scotty, you hit the nail on the head, man. At what point do we try something new with this England squad? It's the same thing I just said about France. It's the same thing we said about Brazil. Like, you're right. They just don't deserve money right now. The same way France don't deserve money. The same way whoever. I don't get it. In Swiss, we've seen this tournament in and tournament out, and we kind of talk about it. And yeah, you know what? They already, let's not call it an upset, but they already handled their business in their group. They handled their business with Italy. Do they have it in them again? Maybe. You know, that's a team that everybody's contributing right now. So they're playing with a ton of confidence. I think this line is probably a little further off than it should be. But just at what point does England's quality come through? I'm really curious. I don't know. Or maybe it just doesn't.
Let me phrase it to you this way. So Switzerland showed that they're capable of scoring 2 against Italy.
Yeah.
In what world do they not score at least 1 against England?
No, 100% they score.
And then how does England score 2 in regular time?
Very fair.
So Switzerland plus a quarter goal at +100. I mean, that's got to be the play.
Mm. Right. You're making good points.
Yeah. All right.
That brings hold on. The last. I just want to see how, just in my mind, Swiss, they've 3-1-1-2 so far. So they've scored every game. And they've only given up I forget the stat. I think they've given up 2 goals or less in like 10 out of 12 or something like that. So I think Scott is 100% right. Somebody give me a reason to take England, because I don't have it right now.
No. And if you take England and you lose, you don't get to complain about the refs. You don't get to complain about anything else. That's on you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It's my right. I'm not saying it just because of England looking so bad. And I know that the Swiss last round was a product of Italy not being very good either. And if I have, you know, talked about that plenty. But they just, you know, I just think that they're the better side right now. The way they've played this tournament. I mean, they got a point off Germany, right? They've been fairly impressive. So that brings us to the last quarterfinal matchup of the Euros. It's Netherlands and Turkey. Turkey bit us yesterday. I tweeted, I said, Austria moneyline, you know, our short, one of our favorite bets of the tournament, this round of the tournament, at least. And one of my favorite stats, XG, Nick, you sent it to Scott and I in the group text. XG was like, close to 3, I think, for Austria.
It was over 3.
Right?
It was over 3.1 or something, yeah.
And lo and behold, they lose that match 2-1 to Turkey. Shout out to Vincenzo Montella, former Roma striker, former Italy striker, right? So I'd like to see those Italian managers doing well. But I did not see Turkey doing this.
Their goalie was absolutely lights out in that game. Just probably, I would say, won them the game. I don't really have any other way to put it. But that being said, they scored two goals. So let's give them credit for that. This is another team that over the course of this tournament has scored two goals against Austria, two goals against the Czechs, three goals against Georgia, goal against Poland. So they're finding the net. They're fielding a young team. Hakan is, he's carrying on his club form into that midfield. They're playing with balls. They're maybe the surprise team of the tournament, I would say at this point, but they're playing with house money now. They've got nothing to lose. Yeah. So shout out them. Plus 450. I think they were probably something similar last game, right? Plus in the high 300s.
Had to be.
But is this where it all comes to an end? And that's what I don't know. You know, I've underestimated Turkey for five games so far. So shame on me. But the Dutch are starting to put it together. And I will say that the Dutch have looked pretty good in most games. They've been held back by Memphis. Memphis fucking stinks.
Yeah,
can't stand terrible. That dude. Don't understand how he's still starting every single game. I think Bergwijn should have a shout to start. I think Weghorst, who I really like. Yeah, nobody else on the planet likes him. But 100%. I think he's a fucking solid striker. But you got to put... You got to put yourselves in a better position to get goals the way Gakpo's playing, the way Malin's playing, the way Simons is playing. So I think ultimately the Dutch have too much firepower and this could be where it comes to an end. But based on trends of both of these teams, this could be an over game.
Yeah, Nick, I couldn't agree with you more because I was going to say something similar about Memphis and the way that Gakpo is playing. And I knew it was going to come off again as a Liverpool homer. But, you know, I think... There's a case to be made that Gakpo right now has been the player of the tournament, not because of any one thing or another. It's just been a pretty, you know, mediocre tournament as far as like star players. You know, Gakpo's got three goals and assists. I think that's the most of anybody right now. And he continues to be a dominant threat down the left side. And if you put someone like Weghorst in the center that you can either play off of or feed, I think you're going to get a lot more offensive output out of this Netherlands side. So, I think Netherlands are starting to put it together, you know, like the antithesis of England, where nothing's going to change. Like the results are what the results are going to be. I think Netherlands have kind of figured some things out. They're starting to play a little bit better. And if by some miracle, you know, Memphis turns it around and actually starts playing well again, like they're going to be a tough out. They're going to be a really tough team, especially given considering how like the favorites have been playing. So, I think Netherlands get it done in this one. You know, I know Turkey fans are going to run to the comment section if we're wrong again on them, but
full credit to them.
After us yesterday, full credit.
Full credit to them. Hey, man, we got it wrong. What do you want us to say?
To back up, you guys talk about the over, and that's kind of being the identity of the Dutch at this point, the Turks at this point. The Dutch, 8 out of their last 9 matches, over 2.5 goals. The Turks, 5 out of the last 5. Both teams scoring in Turkey matches in 4 out of 5. So, I mean, that
minus 130
and minus 130 right is not a bad number, right?
Like right in range.
If this wasn't a knockout round matchup, I think you probably get a much higher number. Like if this is a league matchup with teams like this, right? Like two club teams that score like this, your over is probably in the 150, 160 range, right? Like on a 2.5. So I don't think either of these teams changes their identity though, to play more conservatively because it's just not how they're built.
No.
And I have a prop for you guys in it. This might be, I mean, I know Hakan didn't play last match because he was suspended, yellow card suspension. But take a guess at what his one shot on target number is in this matchup.
Plus 130.
I'd probably go somewhere. The way Steve is, so I would say like probably plus 120, but the way Steve is framing it, it's probably closer to plus 140, well, plus 145.
Plus 150. Like he's a guy, he's done that 2 out of 3 games. He scored a goal.
He takes the free kicks, he takes all the penalties, he's gonna take the penalty if they get one.
I mean, that to me is a crazy number. I mean, I guess they're not expecting Turkey to do much with the ball, but all they need is one free kick within his range and he could put one on target. It all has to be saved. It doesn't even have to go
so
in.
What I'll say too, and you know, you mentioned it about the over trends, the Dutch's defense still isn't that great. Guler, man, even money for a shot on target. I think he's hit in every single game so far. So shout out Oaks and Leg, our Real Madrid fans, because they tweet that out every single game, and I think it's been nothing but cash money. So even money for that seems like a really good shout.
Yeah. And
I would also say Cody Gakpo, goal or assist at minus 115, because the dude's on fire. So
Yeah, that's a solid one.
I hate to say it too, man. Memphis for not Memphis. Dumfries for an assist.
I was gonna say, you must really hate to say it.
No. Dumfries for an assist, man. Like, if it's still in that ridiculous ass number range, let's see where it's at. Plus 400. Like, he should have about six assists this tournament, the way he just throws things in the box that Memphis can't get.
Hakan Goller assist plus 275. This is the guy who's taking all their free kicks, whipping in, you know, crosses if you have one out wide, corners, penalties if they get one. Like, plus 275 is a pretty nice number on Hakan.
Yep.
Against a Dutch side that concedes goals. Yep. Not saying Turkey will win. I think the Dutch win this match. I do. I just think it's one of those. I think if we get goals in any of these four matches, like a good number of goals, I think this is the one.
This is the one, 100%.
Yeah. All right, so let's just do a quick check-in on the futures before we wrap this one up for this tournament, since we did it on the other one. We're looking at – hold on.
I mean, they're all pretty much the same right now. Spain, plus 400. Spain, England, plus 400. England, France plus 450.
Germany, 450.
Yeah.
I guess the value here is kind of on the Netherlands at plus 700 if you want a little bit
maybe Portugal.
Payout.
If you really want to go for it, Portugal at plus 850. I think they get by France. Then you can at least maybe hedge a little bit between, you know, when they face off against the winner of Spain and Germany to get to the final. You could probably put some money on the other side of that. And
I'll buy the Dutch here, though, just based on the side that they're in, the side of the bracket.
For me,
I'm kind of with you there, coach. But shout out us, because the very first preview show, we told you guys, wait until the second round to place a future. Yep. You actually got a better number on France. You got basically the same number on Spain and Germany, and I guess a better number on England if you're so inclined. And now you could still do it now. I think Portugal was plus 800 pre-tournament. They're plus 850 now. And you just took out five games that you didn't have to sweat through. So definitely in a tournament where a lot of teams have disappointed and underperformed, that turned out to be a winning strategy if you waited to place your future.
Yeah. By the way, Netherlands to even reach the final, plus 180. They're the second favorite. England at plus 130 is the highest favorite, which I'm just assuming is because of their bracket, which is crazy to me. Do not put plus 130 for England to reach the final, please.
Man, I was so crazier shit. What about the Swiss at plus 1400? I mean, if they beat England, you have to like them to get to the final.
That's an interesting one too, right? And then
they're
when
plus
350 to
reach. Oh, you're saying to win. I was going to say they're
plus
350 to reach the final.
Yeah, because at that point, you'll hedge. If they make it to the final, you're hedging 100%.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. Name the finalist pairings is an interesting one too. If you have, you know, two teams you really like from each side,
Spain, Netherlands.
They're big
plus
numbers.
800.
Yeah.
Not bad. And then my favorite, top goal scorer, my man Cody Gakpo right now, the favorite, plus 450.
That's only because own goal doesn't count, right? Own goal.
Yeah, own goal already has that locked up, let me tell you. He's got that all locked up. I don't know, like in you know, Musiala, I think that's the only real other, you know, competitor that he has. Havertz, all of his goals are from penalties. I'm not going to buy him. Yeah. Kane, I don't think England are scoring. I don't think they're going to go very far. Mbappe, same with France.
Yep.
Bellingham, you know, I mean, it's got to be either Gakpo or maybe Fulkrug if you think he's going to the final and he's going to pick it up.
Yeah, and I think Gakpo playing Turkey first and then, you know, potentially making the final, if they can get to the final, he's going to have three more matches, but I think the Turkey matchup favors him to score in the next round more than I think Musiala to score against Spain on paper, at least.
Yeah. And then last one, I want to call back to, I think it was our boy Oaks called this out. Player of the tournament right now, Toni Kroos at plus 750. Hometown guy, about to retire. If they make it to the finals, dude, it's got to be Toni Kroos. Like, how do you give it to anybody else? Unless somebody gets like a hat trick.
I'm almost certain he got that at 18-1. I think it was plus 1800. I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So
I'm buying in on it. I mean, I bought in late, but plus 750 is still a good number.
It's him, dude, or it's, I mean, like Gakpo is maybe the second one I'd look at it, plus 1200. I think that's pretty solid at this stage.
Yeah. I mean, if he continues to play like he has been, he'll probably finish with five goals, three assists. That's a pretty healthy number.
And you have to imagine he gets two more games, right? If we think they beat the Turks.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing with the Euros, too, when you talk about player of the tournament, look, it was Gigi Donnarumma the last time, right? So they're not going to just give it to the guy who scores the most goals. They will give it to the most deserving player.
Well, the most goals is going to wind up with, like, four, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, outside of that, I mean, so you got, like, Rodri, Kante, and I guess Van Dijk are really the only three guys in the top 12 that fit into the non-goal scorer category right now. And I don't know how, I mean, I like Van Dijk. I don't know how you can give it to him when Netherlands have already conceded 4 goals in 4 games. Like, there's, yeah, you know, defense has not been their specialty. If you want to give it to somebody on Spain, fine. But I don't know that Van Dijk is that guy.
All right. So I guess we'll leave it there. We're looking forward to a busy weekend of matches in the Copa and the Euros, and then next week semifinals kick off. So we'll be dropping our daily plays on our YouTube page. We've got our daily shorts. Hit a couple on Colombia yesterday. Felt good after a rough day at the Euros that we mentioned with Austria and those matches. But follow our YouTube page if you're not there yet. Drop all our shorts there. And then, of course, we're on Twitter, Kicks Picks Pod. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Shout out everybody that was in the chat. Thank you. Man, let's savor these next 2 weeks before we go into like the 6 weeks of desert where we'll have to bet on like, you know, Norwegian and
England starts in like middle of August, if that.
Yes, it's like 6 weeks, man.
Oh, that you're saying, like, I mean, you still have 2 more weeks of Euros, so
I guess. Right? I guess.
So you're gonna have a month, if that.
Enjoy it now. But yeah, again, shout out everybody that listened, that was in the chat. Appreciate you all. Let's keep cashing.